I didn't mention Tina. She's been out for a couple weeks, but the reason she's out now, we got a message from her yesterday that she caught something when she was, I think, camping. So I would have taken the time, and I will take the time to pray for her. But part of the reason why we continue to do worship as we have is for that reason. But how many of you know that it's nice to be able to just realize that you don't have to always be God's person? You understand what I mean? Is being up here changes the context for a lot of people. So I'm just grateful that she's had some time away, and I just want to pray for her healing right now. Would you pray with me while I do that? Father, thank you for Tina and all that she does. Lord, I have my eyes on so much of what she does here as a part of this congregation and this church. She's shown her love and her service and commitment, as many and as so many others here can value and attest to as well. So Lord Jesus, we just want to pray for her healing today in the name of Jesus. We believe in the power that you said that you have to heal, and you said that if we asked anything according to your will, that you would do it. So Father, we pray for quick recovery and healing for our sister, Lord, that she might be able to just reconnect, Lord, and even be able to share the testimony of what you've done through that healing. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like for you to turn your Bible. So I have these verses, chapter 1. This will be 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1, if you would. I'd like you just to turn your Bibles to that. And I'm hoping to be able to get you guys to engage with me. So even though I feel like you're a little bit quiet, I'll see if I can get you a little bit more boisterous before we're done here. So 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to start in reading in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 10. So just raise your hand if you get there, so that way I know that people are already in 1 Thessalonians. And Lee's already got his hand up, so I'm going to make him keep his hand up. No, just kidding. I'm just doing this for fun. So you guys there? 1 Thessalonians? Okay, well, keep going. Keep going until you get there. And then how many of you brought your highlighters today? How many of you know that it's okay to highlight your Bibles? How many of you realize it is? So God's design in giving us this book is so that it would get into our hearts. And however you got to do, whatever you got to do to get it in your heart, that's the idea. So I know we got some memorizers in here. We got some highlighters in here. If you need a pen, I think we could probably get a pen for you. But just highlight some of these verses as the Lord speaks to you in it. What I'd really ask you to do this morning is listen for what the Lord is trying to say to you. Listen for what he's trying to say to you in our time together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church in Thessalonians. You know this was back in Bible times, because where else do we have anything named Thessalonians other than in the culture back then? Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing. I want you to capture that, what Paul's saying there. We remember without ceasing. Paul uses that word a few times, pray without ceasing. And in this one, and I caught that this morning, I didn't actually catch that prayer too, that he says, now we're remembering you without ceasing. And I'm not exactly sure how to interpret that, but that's quite the thought, is he's saying you're continually on my mind. I never get you off my thoughts. You're that important to me. And I think that's worth taking into consideration. So he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. So not just remembering you, but remembering what you've done in honor to Christ. Your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our God and Father. Verse 4, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. If you can turn me down just a little bit, I'd appreciate that. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power. I'm sorry. in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Can you guys say examples? Can I say it one more time? Examples.
Examples.
Right? That you became not just followers, but examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord was sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. I want to focus on a couple verses here. I wanted to read the context wrapped around it, but I want to focus on a couple verses. And that is verse 6 and verse 7. And I want to reread those. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. I want you to say, receive the word. Receive the word. I want you to shout it out. No, just kidding. And in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Father, would you bless this time that we have? I do not know how to bring this out to those who need to hear it the most. And Father, I do pray that you would help every one of us take home today not an idea or a message or a thought, but a life application truth that the Holy Spirit is using to anoint our life, change the realities around us, and help us walk with you the way we should. Jesus, if I can pray one thing, I pray that today, not one of us will walk in darkness in some place in our life where we need to be walking in the Word today. We love you and we thank you today, Jesus, as the Holy Spirit helps us get to where we need to be. We need that for more than we even know. And I thank you, Jesus, for the privilege and honor to be able to share that today. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I guess I want to say this. It hit me this week. I am honored that you would come to church, of the churches you could go to, the people you could be in fellowship with. And I know that there's people that would say, I'd love you, Pastor, but there's people in fellowship in another church. But I am honored that you would come and listen to me. I'm humbled by it, to be honest. Because there's so many things you could choose. And I do not classify myself as somebody who, wow, you know, go listen to him. Now, some of you might feel that way, but for me, I feel like it amazes me. It absolutely amazes me. I'm humbled and I'm blessed that you would come and be with us today and be a part of my time. And I pray with all my heart. I do this every Sunday. Lord, please give me something for them. Ryan has been such a blessing to me. He has been such a blessing because he, if there's anybody that has encouraged me, he has definitely done that, not just here, but when we meet with the men. Ryan, I appreciate you big time. I also want to say this, and I want to invite you guys to spend time with me. I know sometimes, so I'm an introvert, and I don't care how long you've been an introvert. I'm getting to be a little bit more of a mixtrovert, but it's hard for me to kind of get in the crowd, so to speak. I want to get to know everybody, and the introvert side of me, this is the reality, and I want you to hear this. I'm awkward at starting conversations. Maybe many of you have noticed that. I'm awkward at starting them, but when I finally get that one-on-one time with somebody, and it's more than just 5 seconds, 5 minutes, and we get to talking, I'll be the most talkative person you'll ever meet. I'll talk for hours. We can be locked down for 2 hours, 3 hours. As a matter of fact, there's not one of our Sunday services that outlasts a good many of my meetings with somebody else. So I feel like these are short. You guys are like, this is long, but I feel like it's short. And the reason I say that is because I want to invite you to share with me, hey, Pastor, there was something you said, and I love this when somebody comes to me and says, I have a question. You know, somebody was asking me not too long ago about the sovereignty of God and some of this issue. So reading something in the Bible, how do you see that, Pastor? I love those questions. But I'm also those that are challenging. Those ones that you'd be like, I don't know if I could speak this into your life. And you know, it's hard to give somebody a place in your life so they can speak there. But I'm realizing if I'm going to grow in ministry, I'm going to do it in two things. One, I'm going to do it because God's speaking to me straight out of heaven. But the other one is because the people that I'm ministering to are ministering back to me or speaking to me also. And that means I'm willing for you to take the time to push back on something, maybe not right while I'm speaking it, but you can push back on it, and I'll try to bring correction anywhere where I need to, and have questions. I think the most valued things we can have these days are good, solid questions. And so as I say that is, as I read through this and I realize everybody's in different places. Some people, this is new for. And other people, this is old business. But I believe in it. I'm grateful you're sharing it. And I love encouragement. Just to let you hear this from the pastor. I love it when you genuinely, now please don't get me wrong. If you're like, that word just doesn't settle for me. What you preached, it's like, whatever. I'm not asking you to come up and tell me, Pastor, that was awesome. But it does mean something to me in a powerful way when you guys individually come to me and say, that was a powerful word from the Lord. And I would really say, if you can tell me what the Lord is ministering to you in that, that means a whole lot to me. So just so that I can, you know, I love encouragement. I'm not one of those guys that I'll figure out a way to do without it if I don't get it, but I will more than happily just take all the encouragement that I can get. How many of you know we need that today? In the world we're living, we need that. And we don't need woke encouragement. We don't need a woke and culture encouragement that says, just stay where you are and live every sinful way you want to, and God's happy with all of that. No, he wants to change things. But that being said, there's a few things on my mind. And so this one thought, I want to just kind of capture this in verse 6. And he says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. I think that it should be, I wonder if you can say, I think I'm a good example. How many of you say that you think that somebody could look at your example and say, you're somebody to follow? Now, please, this is a humility thing. Raise your hands. You feel like, raise them up, folks. Get them up there. I'm somebody that you could follow. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying to some of those of you who say, I don't feel like I could raise my hand to that. I'm not trying to humiliate anything. I want people to realize you've got to assess yourself. You've got to take, not only, you've got to be able to look at yourself rightly. You can't be too high-minded and you can't be too low in the way that you assess yourself. You need to see yourself the way God does. And if you're an example, then you need to see that you're an example. And I'll tell you why. Because noticeably, Paul says here that you followed us and the Lord. We weren't out of beat with Jesus, and because we were in beat with Jesus, you didn't excommunicate or devalue us. There is a human element that God has put within ministry that you just can't take out. God elevated leaders, and there are times when, like you will read in the Bible, Miriam spoke against Moses, and she was covered with leprosy because of it. And God's his way of saying, I want you to honor those who follow me. And I want you to follow their example. There's some things that we'll never know how to do it unless we see a human example. But what bothers me is there's good examples that don't even live up to that reality. You're a great example. People should be hearing or watching or getting a vision of your life. And, you know, especially if you're an introvert, you're like, well, I don't want people to see me. So what? Jesus decided to put you out there. And so you're meant to be an example. And we shouldn't take that lightly as far as God is concerned. So you became followers of us and of the Lord. Now some of us would say, but there's a whole lot that I don't know. And I want to share this with you because I think this is important. In a church context, we have people that are new in the Lord. We have people that are old in the Lord and everybody in between. I've been walking with Jesus for a long time, or I'm just finding my way to the Lord. And I think those that are new to the Lord should never feel like they're embarrassed to be where they are in the moment. Amen. I don't want to be so high-minded that I don't just gather in and say, come and spend some time with me. You don't have to have levels of knowledge to fellowship with me. As a matter of fact, I appreciate that you just come genuinely just as you are. We've had different individuals in my life that I have a deep appreciation, and don't get me wrong on this, I have a deep appreciation for those who don't know Jesus at all. I have a deep appreciation for men, and even women alike, who the words out of their mouth are very hard to hear. It's cuss word here and cuss word there, but they're genuine to where they're at in the moment. And I care about people. I was sharing with Lee earlier today, one of the things I recognize, and I feel like God had to lead me through, but I think one of the elements of a good leader, a good pastor, I don't care if you're a leader or a pastor, I think one of the best elements is that you relate well with people across the board. And that doesn't mean that you give in to their sin. It doesn't mean that you wokely talk them into living the lifestyle that they're living in, but they need your example. They need you to live outside of their context, and they need to be able to relate with you in theirs so that they can move from the one they're in into the one God wants them to be in. And that's powerful. But if you're not there, we want to welcome you to be a part of that with us. I never want to have a fellowship or a time where we get together and it feels like it's always way over the head of somebody in the back row somewhere. I don't want to be that guy. I wanted to speak to all of us. And I look at Jesus' life, and it's powerful how the Lord uses illustrations that fit the people from where they were at. But this follow, you're either somebody people can follow, or you're not there yet, but you can be in time. There's definitely things in my life I could say, you definitely don't want to follow me in that. My sister, she had her birthday yesterday, and she's just a little bit younger than I am. And we banter a little bit back and forth. And I shared with her, I enjoy working on carburetors. Now, is there anybody else here that likes to work on small engines? Is there anybody out there? You do, Ryan?
Oh, yeah.
That's wonderful. Love to hear that. So I like to work on them. And so I enjoy the pleasure. There is something I really like about taking a lawnmower or a weed eater or something like, and it doesn't run. You know, have you ever been out there? How many of you have been pulling that string forever and it is not starting? That's when the value for being able to work on one of those things makes a difference for me. And I've always been a hands-on kind of guy. I love mechanical things. So I go through the process, clean it up. Usually it's the carburetor. Most 90% of the problems are carburetor. And I make it work, and I enjoy that. My sister told me, she said, I would love to know that. And I said, well, it sounds like you have interest. Do you have time? She said, well, that's hard. Well, if you get time, we could maybe even do it over a video screen. How many of you know technology has done something for us where we don't have to have somebody right in front of you to teach them something?
Yeah.
I would love. I love to pass on knowledge that I know, but there's a lot of things I don't know. So I could say to my sister, follow me as I build this carburetor for you and as I teach you how to do the same thing. I think that's what Paul's saying. In the field of walking with God, follow me. You see what I'm doing? Don't go do something dumb that I'm not telling you that is recommended. I'm not saying that's even in the Bible. So I think we need to have a lifestyle that we can say is recommended to others. How many of you would say that on a normal basis, gorging yourself out on Facebook and YouTube is a great example for the world around us? Come on, get your hands up there if you really feel like that. But yet, how many of us spend hours and hours on it anyway? So I think one of the great questions is, I know there's people, and I could speak into this audience, that when you put something and you post it, it usually has a God message to it. And so you say, I'm not necessarily absorbed on it, but I spend a lot of time sending out God messages over Facebook. The question is it replacing something else God would rather you do? And if you can say that's not it, that's great. But what we do is find a niche that helps us stay comfortable instead of where the Lord wants us. So I would say, if so, would you be able to say to others, the way that you use these social media, would you be able to say, follow me as I follow the Lord in the way that I use this? If you can't, get off of it. Seriously. And the reason I say that is because I think spiritual growth stops at the moment we start talking about obedience. When we know we're not following the Lord in this, but we're doing it anyway, that's where we need to be careful for. But it's good. But I can do things for the Lord in it. But is he, can you bring others to follow you in your example? Now, it may be you can say, if I changed a few things, I could say that. Well, then change them, right? Change them. I don't think Paul is ever going to be on the side of this, of even if it feels comfortable, but you can't invite others into it, do it anyway. Right? You couldn't invite others into the practice. So I see this word. He said, you received the word, in verse 6, in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit. And I caught this for myself. One is that he said, you received the word in much affliction. I just want to capture that piece, that received the word. I'd like to hear from you guys. So as you read that and you think about that, what comes to mind when you say, like, if I were to say to you, I'm a new Christian and I don't know what it means to receive the word, how would you help me? How would you describe what it means to receive the word? Ryan? Okay, so I think that's a great idea. I know somebody who could help you. I think that's wonderful. Anybody else? Lee?
I'd say to receive the word would be to make the word part of your character and your lifestyle.
Okay, exactly. So there's parts in the Bible that kind of just tell us the story, right? So how do we take the story of, so we see an illustration, how do we take a story and receive the word out of the story? Any thoughts? A good portion of, oh yeah.
I guess to know from that, what does that mean to me now today?
Okay, that's great. I think that's powerful. One of the most important parts of receiving the word is translating it from the culture of the ancient culture of the times to what does that mean in principle for me now? I think that's remarkable. Ryan. I love that. How many of you have heard that saying before, that hindsight is 20/20 vision? Is there anybody in the audience just wondering, how many of you would say, I would change a few things had I known the way it was going to turn out? There's a lot of things I think we would have, like, I wouldn't have done that had I known, right? So, that being said, is there somebody else, there's a thought been going through your mind and you just haven't raised your hand yet to share with us, this idea of receiving the word, what do you think is really important here? Kind of quiet audience. You know, what's interesting is I try not to over-meditate on these things myself because I realize I put you in an awkward position to do so. I want to share a few things that I think is really important to the receiving of the word. One is there a word already? So, you know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and no other voice will they follow. When you're stuck in a situation in life, you already have a word. It's not God's word. But it's a word in your mind. It may be a word of the devil. It may be a word of your own thoughts. But you could construct it, that thought or that feeling, you could construct it into a word. I've oftentimes in conversation at home, either with my kids or my wife, I'll ask a question, and a lot of times the response will be, I don't know, or I'm not sure. But what I try to do is press that to the place of, put that I'm not sure into the context of some kind of language. Help me understand by putting it into a word frame. And what we realize is that every thought and feeling could truly be put into a word. You already have a word. That's the one thing we have to realize. There's a word already going on in your head. It may be the devil's word. It may be your word and the devil's word. There may be somebody else's word. But what we're saying is that it's in conflict or it's either in line with what God is saying. So to receive the word, we have to realize in many and most instances, God's word comes to us as a contradiction to the word you've already got. And you have to trade it. You have to trade the contradiction. You have to give your heart to the one that matters the most to you, that you believe in the most. That's called faith. So what we find is, as you begin to unpack that for different people, you realize the Word of God has been, they've been exposed to it. They know what God is saying, but they're not ready to surrender to what God is saying. They're stuck. That's the worst kind of stuck, to be honest, because one is ignorance, the other one is I'm knowledgeable, but I can't get over to it. What is the hindrance point to what God is saying? And it really comes down to, and I think that's why Jesus emphasized faith. You have to get you believe it, because it doesn't look like that one is true. It doesn't look to you like the word that I'm saying is true. Let me give you an example. Gideon was one of them. Gideon, the angel said, mighty man of valor. Now, Gideon was in the back of the threshing floor, and he was just trying to hide because the Midianites were overtaking the people of Israel. And Gideon's in the backside trying to do whatever he can. And then the angel of the Lord visits him while he's in the fear of the Midianites, trying to do whatever he can to preserve his own life. And then the angel comes to him and speaks a word of contradiction, but it's the word of God. He says, now rise up, mighty man of valor, and you will smite the Midianites. Wow. And then guess what he says? This is his battle to receiving that word. He says, who am I and my father's house? We are like this. We are nothing. How is it, essentially, how is it that you're saying that? Moses had a similar battle with God at the burning bush. And then God is speaking to him, I have made your mouth. And Moses, I'm slow of speech. How can I do this thing? And God is trying to help Moses embrace the greater reality. So I don't know about you, but I wonder if you were really to just think about what I'm saying, can you say, I see myself there? I believe probably most of us in this room have had times where we can say, I received the word. But in other times, or in certain instances, and even right now, there's certain things I'm not. Either I'm not aware of what God's word is in this moment, or I'm not sure how to receive or hold on to that. Conflict of emotion, feeling, and thought seems to get in the way of that many, many times. I think one of the other things is that we need to be careful that we're not trying to replace the word of God with the one we want. How many of us in situations, notice he says here, you receive the word in much affliction. I caught that he didn't say you just received it in affliction. You received the word with lots of affliction. You are going through a really hard trial. You're going through something very, very painful. And you received the word. What is God saying to you? Noticeably, what God doesn't seem to be saying in that moment is I'm taking away your affliction. Paul shares that in a different time. He says he had this thorn in the flesh and he prayed three times. Lord, remove this thorn out of my flesh, and it didn't go away. Sometimes we think Christians are really spiritual because they're very good at putting a positive twist on everything and calling that faith. The only thing that's actual faith is when you put it back to what God is actually saying. So sometimes God is borrowing you for suffering, severe suffering, hardship of some kind, a trial that nobody else is going through in the moment. And God is borrowing you to reveal himself to Macedonia and Achaia. And he's not necessarily going to take you through that the rest of your life, but he's going to take you through those times And you're going to have to say, Lord, what is your word to me? Are you, you're telling me this, you're going to take it away, or you're going to tell me how to be close to you in the middle of this? What are you saying? And when we can receive the actual word of the Lord, no matter what our circumstances in, that's where we thrive. That's where Christianity grows. That's where the church matures. But if we don't, I don't care if we're a church or if we're a single person, that becomes a problem. Now, I'm going to use this microphone a little bit as a kind of... I've been thinking about this all week long. And I'm like, Lord, do you really want me to use this illustration? This microphone, it's going to become a sprinkler head in the moment. Now, this is what I've been good at, is putting in sprinkler systems. But a few thoughts came to my mind is the illustrative reality of how a sprinkler, one sprinkler in a system cannot in by in itself provide what the system needs. There's a design that includes a single sprinkler head. But the design in its totality requires a lot of sprinkler heads. That would be us today. Essentially, God has a design for his church. What I realize is this, and as I've gone over and you do repairs and service calls for people over 15 years of different service calls and installations of sprinkler systems. How many of you would love to have a sprinkler system, by the way, to just kind of water your lawn automatically? So how many of you got one, right? Raise your hand if you got one. Isn't that awesome to have one? We love it, but the reason we love it is not because we got a sprinkler system. We love the sprinkler system because it was designed well. I can go and I can from experience look at a sprinkler system and say, I'm sorry, I can't fix that for you because the design was flawed. It's a bad design. But then I can go to others and I can say, it's a great design, so I can fix anything in your system. Sometimes it's a redesign and sometimes it's just fix the problem. No, how many of you know this? You know that God's design is perfect. God designed us and the way he wants us to be in his body. In his body, that's the sprinkler system, right? He designed us to work individually and in unity. That's powerful. Now, can I get an example? Can I get somebody that just be help me up here in the front? I had Ryan last time. I wondered if I might have somebody else this time. I love Ryan. He's ready to jump up and help me anytime. I got anybody to help me out? Okay, I got Lee out there. You guys are bold when you come up here. You're a little extra. So Lee, if you'll just stand and turn around in front of everybody and hold this. So Lee is in my system. I have a sprinkler head, and I have three different kinds. You have the ones that are in the middle. They're the 360s. You actually have four. You have like the three-quarter, but I'm not going to talk about them right in the moment. They're important, just so you know. You have the 180s, and you have the 90s. Now, if you're in the position where he's watering a 90-degree field, then that means I'm going to put probably something like a number one nozzle in there. And what that is that's the gallons per minute I'm using. I'm reducing the flow in his life, and I'm also reducing the amount of labor. He's only going to cover 90 degrees. Do you feel like that's going to humble this brother? When he can see another one of us, and I'm going to, can I get somebody else real quick? Can I get somebody else that will help me? I just want to illustrate this idea. Anybody else besides Ryan? I love you, Ryan, but I'm trying to get the audience of fearfuls out here to kind of help me out. Can you guys help me out? Jonathan, can you help me? Come on. He's got this great head of hair that everybody's got to admire. I love this. So, Jonathan, if you would. Jonathan, you're going to be my 360, right? So if you'll just hold that out there. Can you guys give a hand clap for these guys that they're willing to just do this for me? 360. So what I'm going to do in the 360 is I'm going to put a number four nozzle. I'm going to put max output of flow, and he's going to cover a wider swath of an area. Now, if they don't understand the design, they will conflict with one another. They will conflict with the Lord, and they will also have, and they will create a problem with the rest of us within the design. The Lord really used that to speak to me. So you have to know the design. You have to understand, why does God have you where he has you, and why is he putting you, having you do what you're doing, despite everybody else? So when you have a number one nozzle and you're like, Lord, why are you like only flowing out of my life like this? And Jonathan over here, he covers a wider swath of people. He's witnessing to the community. He has ministries galore, and it's a number four. And you would think God is using him more, wouldn't you? But when you realize the design is without flaw, you realize that what God is doing is providing for us something that creates unity. But in a sprinkler system, what we call it is even watering. What we're evenly watering. If I put a number four in him, I will quadruple the amount of water in that 90 degree than what I'm doing in the 360. He's not supposed to run off of a number four. So thank you, guys. Can you give them another hand? I appreciate what they've done. So that being said, a lot of us, when we realize what the Holy Spirit is actually saying, you received the word does not mean that God is calling you to a greater ministry or to reach out to more people. What he's doing is, I want you to be faithful with what I've established in your life. When you're faithful with what I did, now imagine Lee saying, you know what, I do not like this feeling of being a 90 degree and having very little output in my life. So I'm just going to go ahead and water the street, or I'm going to change the adjustments in my life because I don't like where God has me, or I don't like what it feels like to be in competition or in situation with Jonathan, or vice versa. Jonathan could look down at Lee and said, that's not cool. I'm doing all this work. I'm laboring in the church like crazy. I'm just give. And Lee's in balance with the Lord, and he doesn't think like that. He's like, I just don't like the fact that I have to do so much and he does so little. And the problem is when we don't hear what the Lord, and we don't see the design God has for our life, we really do start comparing ourselves with one another. Measuring ourselves, like I said last week, measuring ourselves by somebody else's standard. And so as I think about that, there are things that we need to change in order to be in alignment with what God had in mind, not with what seems to fit us the most. So we need every one of you individually, Lord, set me aright, adjust me, open up the flow in my life, temper the flow in my life so I fit what you're doing, not what I prefer to see happen. And believe me, we all have to have those times. So we need the Word of God to come in its contradiction to help us realize that. The other way I realize that God gives us the Word is through paradox. In order to live, we must die. You must die to self. You must deny yourself so you can be my disciples. There's these paradoxes that God puts in it. It's like, Lord, why would you have me give less to have more? How does that work in your kingdom? Now, that's not always the case, but what I'm saying is that oftentimes God gives us the paradox. Why? Because we'll pursue our will if we don't hear the paradox of God. We'll pursue what we think is best. So it seems like a paradox to us that you can put a number one nozzle inside of me and cover a smaller area, and I can be doing just as much work as the guy that's putting out a 360 number four. In God's kingdom, he can do that. He can do that. Because God does things strategically. He doesn't do things just efficiently. So when it's done strategically, it works. I loved designing sprinkler systems for that reason, because I realized there's a harmony in all of this. We have done sprinkler systems where you put the same nozzle in every single head. We'd all feel like the way the government wants us to feel. We'd let that woke culture get inside of us, and nobody gets to have anything extra, nobody gets to have anything less. We all are equal, and all of that good stuff. The problem is because you have to adjust some for 90 and some 180 and some 360. It's never in balance. And this is what happens. In a system where you do not properly put the right nozzle in the head, you imbalance the system and you're going to get one of two results. It's either going to be overwatered or underwatered. But what you're going to have is these areas where it's saturated water, too much water. And some of us think by being extra spiritual and over-watering, doing less, you know, getting more into prayer and less about whatever else and helping somebody, or vice versa, helping somebody but less in prayer, however you want to look at it, we look at it like, if I put more emphasis here, then that means I'm going to be able to water more thoroughly and better. And that's the problem. Because on the other side of it, we're creating a dry spot. Interestingly, in a sprinkler system, we overlap one another. We call it head-to-head coverage. That means every head has to have at least two or three other heads hitting in the same area. Our lives have to overlap. You can't do the life of following Jesus and overlap. So not overlap. And so we have overlap, and we have to follow the guideline or the guide or the one who's putting us in adjustment, or we're going to throw the whole system out. You alone can create a problem to throw the system out of design. Just all of us, just once. But Lord, I just feel like I want to do this thing in the flesh and live for myself and kind of do my own thing. You just keep doing that, and the rest of the body actually does suffer. But I'm not saying anything to them. I'm not telling them what I'm doing. I'm doing it in secret. Nobody knows. The rest of the body suffers because there's something about the way the Holy Spirit flows through our life as a body of believers, and you're not letting him flow through your life properly. We need you to follow the Lord. And I think the reason why this is such a powerful illustration is this. Obedience is more important than just trying to do good things. It's so, so important that we follow what the Holy Spirit is actually teaching us to do and individually connect with God. So he says, you receive this in much affliction. The key to going through affliction is to find God in it. I don't know in my audience. I know some of you have been going through things. Some things have been very difficult, but the key to being in affliction, it doesn't matter how much affliction you're in, is to find God in it. I'm sure all of us have been in those situations with somebody, and what they tell you is the heartbreak of the story as it is in the moment. It's so hard for me. It's so difficult. And the one thing that I try to key into, are they seeing God in this? Are they finding the Lord in the affliction? So when he says much affliction, here's something that we do naturally as human beings. The colder it gets, what do we do to compensate for the cold?
Firewood.
Okay, so we turn up the heat somehow. We get warmer. So the colder it gets, the more we stack on the blankets, the more we turn up the heat, we get more firewood in the stove. We're just going to keep stoking it on the other end. And here's what I think is powerful about. Friends, we have to catch what the Lord does with affliction. We can be praying, Lord, please get me out of this affliction. And the Lord is like, actually what I want you to do is heat up the furnace. What am I saying? Heat up the furnace. So the more affliction that comes, now careful, because I'm not just saying, God's saying pray more. But actually, find the word of the Lord in that prayer time. Find what he's saying. Receive the word that God has for you, and let that stoke the furnace while you're going through your affliction. There are afflictions God's taking away. You have to know the difference. But there are awesome afflictions that God has for us that he's not taking away. He's leaving you in the affliction. Now again, here's the reason why we need to understand the design. Somebody's out in the middle of the sun, and they're working 24/7 to keep their area green, and somebody else is sitting in the shade. Somebody's being afflicted, and somebody's not. And I can't envy you in your moment, because one day we'll probably swap spots so God can, throughout the system of our lives, he can continue to balance the relationship that we have with him. And so we will, at different times, be in affliction. And why is the church so important? Because when you're in your time of affliction and I am not, I am going to be there to comfort. I'm going to be there to try and pray. I'm going to try to be there for you when you're going through that. But then, just the same way, when I'm going through it, you're going to be there for me. Now, why is that so important? Because if we come to church for the function, the formality, if we come just so that we can be in the space of liking to be with some people and not with others, we'll miss the most important part about being here. And that is that we get to have the overflow of the love of God revealed in two forms. In the one that God gives to us through the Spirit, and the other one that God gives to our brother and our sister. I need your love. I'm going to go through some very difficult times in my life, and I'll reflect on how you loved me. See, Pastor John, right now, he's not with us, but if I were to share with you, as I have probably other times, when my wife and the family went in, when the kids were little, and they were in a wreck over Snow Hollow Hill, and the car had tumbled, they were all safe, but I was over in Montana. And I had made numerous phone calls because they left with the vehicle. I decided to stay there. None of us expected that to happen. And I was trying to find a way to get from Montana home and to be with my family. And I made numerous phone calls. And, you know, there was no issues as far as people not being available. But we were kind of getting close to the break of the winter, but still snow on the ground. And Pastor John came, and he reached out, and he drove halfway. They drove halfway, and he picked me up and brought me home. But what you guys don't know is Pastor John was going through, had kidney stones, and he was in pain, but he never vented toward me, never gave me any idea of that. I found out about that later. That just added to the fuel of God's love through his life to me. Well, in turn, as I've watched Pastor John age and stuff, it is my privilege, and I can't emphasize that word enough, just to go mow his lawn sometime, to serve him in any way that I can, and not because I owe him a debt. It's because it's the exchange of love in a different season in life, and it's what Jesus was telling us how to live in the kingdom of God. So what I notice in our church is that that happens across the board in different relationships. The Lord has you involved in somebody else's life, and I hope they know as a pastor that I care for them, but God is caring for you through them. That's awesome. And you are just as valued to me as he is. He's just the one God is assigning me to in the moment, and that's how we balance the system. That's how we balance it. And we realize the love of God is not shown through the pastor as an ultimate. It's shown through the body as an ultimate, and the pastor is a part of the body. So that the affliction, actually, a lot of us need to pray very carefully, Lord, is this affliction something special? And you're going to do some things in other people's lives and through this, and I want to own it. Brothers and sisters, there's sometimes where God's saying, own the affliction. Hold on to it for the time. I have a time and a space for this. Own this and pray and spend time with me and get to know me through this. And there will be revelation. Listen to me. Revelation doesn't come just because you're praying. Revelation comes because you're surrendered, because you're yielded. And then the Holy Spirit shows you something. And with that revelation, then you can teach. Then you can share and instruct others, because there's power in revelation, not just in knowledge. And I love how he attaches this at the end. He says that you receive the word in affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. With the joy of the Holy Spirit. This is why I often wonder, are we trying to chase the joy of the Lord in a superficial way? Why is Paul attaching this on the back side of it and not on the front side of it? Now, I believe on the front side of you receiving the word of God was the last time that you went through a time of affliction and received the word and you got the joy of the Holy Spirit. But on the other side of that, there's more to come. There's more of the joy of the Holy Spirit to be in our lives. How do we get that? If somebody were to say, Pastor, how do I receive the joy of the Holy Spirit? You have to go through the process of God. You have to. You can't bypass the process of God and get the benefits and the rewards of it. That's why in our culture, we're killing our churches and our brothers and our bodies of believers, because we're trying to fast pace and get there in a microwave way, and God doesn't do it that way. So notice how he fits this in. He says, first, receive the word. Second, not always in affliction, but when you're in that place, receive it in whatever frame you're in, but receive it in affliction, and then you have the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, the last piece to this, I think, is so powerful and precious. This is how you form an example. This is how you get examples. Is that they've been through. Now, some say, well, that be they've been through trial. Listen to James as he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing the trying of your faith works patience. He says, don't sweep it, don't try to get rid of it. Keep it around for a certain reason, that while in that, you are having the joy of your faith, and then this creates examples. So as I was praying through this, Pastor John was one of them, and I just had the Holy Spirit remind me of something. James, just remember that 62 years of marriage with Sandy has not ended quickly, nor is the grief gone away from his life. You're praying for a man who's receiving the word in affliction. And as I watch the joy come over him, as I see him in the season of life adjusting to where God has him, and I say, Lord, what a benefit. And I would say that about everybody here, but I'm just using John as an example. What a benefit that when you have gone through your grief and you've carried your grief with the cross, and you've received the word of God. And how do I know you received the word? Because I'm not hearing grief out of your mouth for the most part. Yes, it's there, but what I'm hearing is, what is God saying in that? And it's contradictory to the natural man. It's not what the natural man is used to. And I'm feeding off of what you're saying, and that's how I'm being influenced. And you're an example through that. And that's why Paul says throughout this, he says, for our gospel did not come, in verse 7, so that you become examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. And listen to this in verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. It went from being outside to inside. Now you possess the reality of what that word is saying, and you're living in that context. And so he says, now the word of God is coming out of you. It's not because you're preaching it. It's because the way you're living in the context God has you in, and you're following the way of the Holy Spirit. So he says, this becomes examples to them. The word has been sounded out, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. I love this. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, he highlighted them at first, but he says, but also in every place. You can't destroy a real testimony of God. You can take it anywhere in the world, and it will not blemish, it will not fade away. It will always stand and be a wonderful testimony for what it is. I know I can say probably, and I can pick out others in our audience. I love to pick out somebody who's not here because I can't embarrass them in the moment, right? So somebody's like, I wish you hadn't brought me up while everybody's looking at me. So I do that at times, and he doesn't even know. But I value, and what I realize I value in it is not just the love that we've had for one another, but the exchange of what God is saying through our lives. The exchange of what God is saying through our lives. In verse 9, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God. Idols can look very spiritual, but you'll never have an idol in your life if you do what God says. It'll never be an idol. I used to think that experience was that's what you turned into an example, was experience, and I won't say that that's not a part of it, but I think it's the product of the experience. I know a lot of people who are experienced, but nothing's come of it. Nothing special, nothing wonderful that's come out of that experience. So I can't call that an example, but it's the product of the experience. If you've gone through hard situations and you haven't learned what the Lord has for you, I can't call that an example. But what I can say is that when you hear from the Lord and you follow in His tracks, then that's an example. And that may be, you may say, Pastor, and this is what I need to encourage some of you with, because you would say, I'm not like really skilled in the knowledge of the Bible. This far outweighs by a million times being knowledgeable in the Bible. You can be a knowledgeable heathen. You can be a knowledgeable hypocrite. You can know this Bible from one end to the next and still not live for the Lord. That's why when we say be in the Word, we're not saying just read the Bible, not just hear it. Notice Paul says you received the Word. He didn't say you just heard the Word. You received it. And so that being said is when God actually puts himself and we actually receive Christ through the Word, then we become the examples. And that's the product that we can say that's an example. And that's why Paul could take Timothy and he said, you're an example to the believers. And so I pray that we might be able to say from this, if you're struggling with this, I don't think you're struggling with the message. You're like, Pastor, I need that. So this is what I want to say today, but as we're getting ready to have some time before the Lord. What is something the Holy Spirit, now listen to me, because this isn't going to be done in one altar call time. But I think you need to acknowledge it in the altar call time. I want to ask some of you, how many of you have something in your life and you can automatically go to it in your mind and you can say, it keeps coming up, but I keep doing the opposite thing. I keep going the opposite direction. I've been doing that for a long time. I'm not asking you to raise your hands. I'm just asking you to think about that. Because one of the things I wonder is, this needs to be the day that changes. That needs to be today. Whatever is blocking the road path to you getting through that, you need to get through that today. Well, as a start today, and start moving in the direction God has called you to. I'm worried that some of us are not growing in the way of the Lord because God has been saying something to us and we keep diverting it and pushing it off for another day. And you're going to struggle deeply spiritually and inhibit the Spirit of God in your life until you surrender. Until you yield in that way. I am begging you to yield to the Lord and just take some time before him, and we pray for you today. This is a moment of miracles. The other one I'm going to say is, as you've been listening, oftentimes the Holy Spirit brings something up. What is that? What is that thing that you would say, I know I'm hearing the contradiction of God's voice to, and I'm wanting to surrender to the Lord in that. What is he contradicting in this moment? Are you that Gideon? Where's your Gideon story for you? And what is he contradicting? I would have a hard time believing not everybody in this audience has something in your life that is a word to you, and God has a word of contradiction because he wants to take you somewhere else than where that is. That being said, I want to create an opportunity. That's all I can do. God gets to do the rest. But I want to create an opportunity for you to seek, acknowledge the Lord in it, to pray for you, and just to see where the Lord takes that. But please, my brothers and sisters, just hear me. This is the heart of a pastor that's broken, but as sincere as ever, and I fit your context. I long for transformation, spiritual transformation. Every Sunday I come here, Lord, I want to see for your glory, not for my ministry, for your glory, spiritual transformation. And I hate seeing people I hate seeing them in a stuck place when you're a God of transformation. I trust you to do that. So if you can say, I know I need a transformation point in my life, I want to invite you. Up front, you can sit in the seats. We'll clear out if you need to sit down, if you want to kneel up front. We just want to take some time for the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts and our spirits today. You seek the Lord with all your heart. And if I could encourage you to do one thing, brothers and sisters, if I could encourage you in this moment, just draw in with all the hunger of your soul. Lord, I want you with all my heart. And God's going to move on the hunger of your spirit. The Lord will move on that. Amen. So, Caleb, if you would, you can play the music in the background. I'm going to invite you up as I pray. Just invite you to come and let the Lord minister to your heart. The Holy Spirit has something for those that are just inviting him to minister to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I thank you today, Lord, that you have in our time and in this moment. Lord, you gave me a word that I am receiving before we even started this service.